Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com, partnered with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Follow them on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo or visit LenovoGaming.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 5 of Arcane Analysis. Tonight I'm joined by my hosts, Allie and Katie, and we will be diving into dungeons throughout WoW's history.
So dungeons, I guess we've started right when you get to go. You level a little bit, and now at level 15 they say, hey, you should check out some new dungeons. But it definitely wasn't always like that. I know myself, I started playing before Looking for Dungeon came out. So you had to go and run around and find the dungeon, make up your own groups. And it was kind of a cool experience. It really got you into the group content, you know, the MMO feeling of World of Warcraft.
You actually had to make friends with those strangers.
Yeah, so you had to, I guess typically you talked into the Looking for Group channel and said, hey, I'm a healer, or I'm a DPS, or I'm a tank, and let's do this really awesome dungeon. And being after Burning Crusade, I think it was when Ragefire Chasm was added. I don't exactly remember when, but it was great because I could, the first one was right there, so you just kind of chilled down in Orgrimmar and go through and beat some baddies and get some really cool loot. As you level up and get higher, they definitely add more mechanics to them. They add some really cool locations, and they really get add a bit to the story, don't you think?
I think so. Like, for me, one of my earliest dungeoning experiences was doing Shadowfang Keep and having to run and, by foot, because you were only like level 15 to 20 and you certainly didn't have a mount at that point in time. So you'd have to look and trade, chat in town, and maybe spam Looking for Group on your way down there to see if you could catch somebody out in the world and, you know, run back and forth on hoof and foot.
Hoof and foot. Yeah, so I think Shadowfang Cape was the big one, because I was leveling through Hillsbrad, and it was, no, that wasn't Hillsbrad. What was that area? Whatever.
And Silver I get Pine down Forest. To there,
and it was a really cool, like, dungeon thing. I'm like, oh, this is neat, and I entered in, not knowing what was going on, and there were some elites, and I'm like, oh, this is a really, you know, scary place, and I think I took a wrong step in, like, 20, right in that first corner area, like, I think it was like 10 mobs came and just whacked me, and I had, you know, of course, dead instantly. So that was my first experience of a dungeon. So I went back there with a couple of friends and a couple of random people, as a friend was leveling at the time. And we went through the dungeon, and I thought, was, wow, that was really cool. I want to do more of those. I guess the best part was I was leveling a priest and was leveling as holy, as stupid as that was. So I found myself in many, many dungeons throughout my original leveling.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, because I hated trucking it from zone to zone, and I didn't read quest text, and so running back and forth through, you know, vanilla content before the revamp, like, quests weren't very centralized, and you could get lost or finish a chain and didn't have anywhere to pick up, and so doing dungeons, and even if it was over and over and over all day, you know, on the weekends or after work or whatever, it was a much more rewarding experience, because, like, I always picked up new friends and made healer friends and tank friends, and like, hey, buddy, let's go do the thing. We'll go grab some DPS or see if there's somebody in guild that'll come help us out.
And I distinctly remember leveling and coming across those same people as I was leveling, because you'd be like, oh, hey, you know, who wants to run this dungeon? And the same person would chime up of like, hey, you were that healer, let's do that dungeon. I think my tank friend's on, or this tank person is in chat, let's go and do this next dungeon. As you go through, well, there is Wailing Caverns at one point, and What were the other notable ones that I did? Maradon for certainly. That was the first big dungeon you came across. It was just made some for some really cool times. It was
Yeah,
my first
Mardon was
introduction.
cool, and I hated it because I got lost for a few hours as a
Yeah.
corpse and was
Yes.
abandoned by my group
That
because
corpse run
I
was the
couldn't.
worst.
Nobody would show me where to go, and I didn't realize that like you had to like run through the little like centaur people, I think it was over there, and then run down some steps and through some hallways, and then you could finally get to the entrance. Like, it was super convoluted and not intuitive at all. And I ended up having like a guildie who was max level come find my little ghost body and escort me to
Oh,
my
did you?
body. Because
Oh, that's very
like they didn't
cool.
have teleport to the spirit healer, so I couldn't make it back to the spirit healer to res and take the res sickness, because at that point I would have paid people cash money to help me find my body. But we ended up, finding my corpse in the dungeon, so. But that place was cool because it was like huge and sweeping, and like you drop down into the water and all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, it was just a really unique, almost raid level of experience, and it was that kind of thing. Even though I hated that place, I wanted more of it. I wanted more dungeons, could never get enough of them.
First off, that's how you tell that that's a good friend, is when they escort you to your body and show you how to res, how to do everything. But you're absolutely right. Being in that particular dungeon was so different than the other dungeons or even some of the WoW content beforehand, where it's just so massive and there's so many things to do in there. Like you said, it's almost like a raid experience. And really, that's just what, dungeons are for. They're to prep you for the raid experience. They're to, basically tell you, it's like, why am I playing, World of Warcraft versus Fire Emblem? Oh, this experience that you can't have otherwise.
Yeah, Dungeons was kind of the gateway drug to raiding for me, at least.
Oh, certainly. And it was, as I said, it was like the first real time that you spent time interacting with other players. I mean, you saw them in the cities, but after you left, there was no cross realm zones and stuff like that. So you went out, and if you were on a smaller realm, it was absolutely empty. I would be questing, and I never saw a single player when I was doing that up until I got to some of the max level new expansion zones. So I started playing just as Wrath released. And so I didn't really see a single other person until I hit Howling Fjord. That was the first time I saw another player while questing, which was the weirdest feeling because I was like, oh, there actually are other people playing this game, not just in the dungeons.
When they advertise that there are millions of players, you finally found one to
I
prove my
finally
point.
found one.
You're one in like 8 million,
At least one that was not just a trade troll.
Yep.
It's like there's lots of people in trade, but what are they doing? What's trade
So,
chat?
but we talk about like we talk, as you go through those were leveling dungeons, and I went through them, and it was really cool, and everybody's gone through them, but you just kind of left them after that. I mean, as soon as they didn't give you anything that you wanted, you just left them, and I guess that's telling for every content in World of Warcraft, but especially the earlier dungeons and vanilla content, you spent a level, maybe two, of working through them, and then you just said goodbye and you never went back there.
Yeah,
And
and I think that's one of the cool things that, like, with subsequent expansions where they've gone back and, like, reworked some of those older dungeons, like, Scarlet Monastery ones, Shadowfang Keep was actually revamped when Worgen were introduced in Cataclysm, Scholomance, and I'm trying to remember the other one. Sunken
there's
Temple.
another
I
one, Sunken
completely.
Temple.
And they actually did rework Maradon too, because they actually split it into like two instances, kind of thing.
It's still the same instance. Like you can go in there physically and go through the whole place. It's three spots. But when you do the QN, it puts you right where you want to be at the start. But I think
Ah,
they
that's what
did
it is.
adjust a little bit because I don't remember it being exactly the same. But maybe that's just because you don't connect from the earlier sections to the later sections anymore. Like you don't run there physically, so there's some space there that's you don't experience.
Yeah, like I remember when they actually introduced Group Finder and I was leveling an alt, I didn't realize that it was the same Maradon because of the way that the name of the queue was different. Mm-hmm. Until we got to Princess. And like I was expecting something quite different than what Princess actually is, and it was one of those like, oh, well, interesting. Not the kind of princess I was expecting from, you know, every other game I've ever played, but it was cool. It was memorable.
Yeah, I remember doing that before the queue. So we were doing the purple side of Falspor Caverns or something, and then ran over and down and kind of continued going. And that's when I first experienced that a tank, being a healer, that tanks took crushing blows because we were completely underleveled and just cruising through onto Princess. It was really cool to do, but at the same point, like, it was brutal. Really gave you a good shot at, you know, figuring out what healing was beyond just the basic, oh, these are leveling dungeons, they don't really hurt that hard. But I guess when Mara was first introduced, what people were going in there with 10 people, I guess, back in vanilla, because there was some really good trinkets for, I guess, one of the raids at the time for AQ really wanted nature resistance, and there was one in there, and so people were running.
Even though it was a low-level dungeon, that all resists and crushing blows.
Oh, the
nostalgia. Like, it's fun to talk about it now, but man, that stuff sucked.
It was brutal.
Besides Princess being absolutely disgusting and making me nauseated, that was like the first time playing WoW, I was like, oh my god, that's horrible, despite, you know, there being tons of undead and all these other, you know, spooky themes. Princess, those farts,
the princess,
man,
is the one that got you.
Yeah, and listening to the two of you, like, I had the exact opposite experience where you two experienced dungeons as they were when you traveled to them, experienced them as a whole, whereas when I started playing, you just did the looking for group. I didn't even, the concept of like actually, it was like, oh, you can actually like walk to a raid, didn't happen until like after I'd made my first, you know, hit my first level cap character, and it was like, yeah, we're gonna go walk to this dungeon. I was like, we can do that. And then with the dungeon that you two were just talking about, which is like, it's so massive when you actually go there and you don't instance into it, it was like, what, this is the same place, but we have to queue for it, you know, for three different instances. So I don't know, it's really fascinating to just hear how far dungeons and sort of that group making has come, and the pros and cons of that, which is, you know, looking for group, it's instant status, you know, instant gratification. You find a group of people, possibly make friends with them, maybe stay around and hang out with them. Whereas when you guys were actually doing like the looking for group, you know, you had to seek out players of maybe a similar skill level, come together, then just push through it. There wasn't any like, you didn't just leave a dungeon. It was like you were committed. So hearing that, just, I don't know, I kind of wish I had that experience myself.
It was a good experience. It really taught, at least for me, it taught me that there was definitely another person on the other side. And yeah, maybe this is taking a little tangent, but it made you really recognize the players that you wanted to be around and made dungeons fun and interesting and the ones that really taught you what you were doing.
It also made you accountable for your behavior too. Like, like back in those days, I don't remember anybody being, you know, super douchey other than like really snarky people in trade, but it wasn't that, you know, really nasty filth ball that people talk about now. It was just people being like, oh, hey, go thought bot it. And that was kind of as rude as it got.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, this was,
I don't know,
Thunder Fury and Murloc and anal spam.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up, but I was like, can we do that? Like, is that okay?
It's okay. I mean, we all know it's there. We just try to pretend it's not. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Like, more, I knew more people basically like growing up on my server that, you know, I ended up running into later, and raiding with and pug raiding with, and people that I was, you know, friends with for a long time. Before I kind of lost touch with them when I left server and didn't really find them again when I came back. But yeah, like, you were douchebags that were douchebags, like, got cut out of doing content, and they were always pegged for that, even if they ever, like, tried to clean up their act. So I like the personal accountability for that community that you had from a server, and some of that does feel like it dissolved with Group Finder, even though I love the utility of Group Finder and making it easy to get a hold of a lot of things. It kind of did away with certain experiences that I don't feel like are in the game as much anymore.
I can get you behind that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Group Finder because when it came out, suddenly I could, you know, I could do other things. I didn't have to spend 20 minutes finding a group, or 30 minutes finding a group for the next dungeon. I could just hit the queue and then I could finish questing. And that's, I think, when I leveled my second or third character up, when the Dungeon Finder came out, it was great because then I actually went through the zones and was able to get some of the story behind them. So that was really cool to experience through the ways, which was definitely nice when the Group Finder came out. But it also led to, you know, going through the daily heroic, and that became a thing. And so you really got into dungeons as the gearing option, or trying to give you the next leg up and getting to raids and stuff.
Badges. Oh god, badge farming. Like, I remember in Wrath, like, you had your daily heroic, but, like, if you missed a day, it accrued. So, like, if you only could run dungeons on Sunday, you could run all seven of them on Sunday and still get all of your badges. And I think they did away with that in Cataclysm, where if, like, you missed a day, you just missed a day and you were behind.
I thought it was the reverse, but either way. Yeah, I remember doing some weird things at one time. And as much as raiding was so much fun, I think my favorite points in Wrath and probably Cataclysm, honestly, were some of the dungeons when they were relevant, because they were interesting. They could do things that you couldn't quite do in a raid to facilitate some fun things. The achievements were kind of fun that you could do, and nothing terribly hard. It was really just something to have a good time with. You learned some mechanics as you were going through, something that you expect to see in raids, something that you could get some gear pieces to help you boost yourself and get ready for the raids. But overall, I found them fun. I made some really good friends, even in the Group Finder. Amazing. Met a couple of tanks, and we, you know, were BattleNet friends and stuff. And still, for a long time, we were, you know, group queuing together. It was great. I think that's when we ran, my crowning achievement was running the Nexus in like 6 minutes. It was a Shadow Priest, a Disc Priest, a Warrior, a Boomkin, and a Warlock, and you just constantly were casting and killing things and kiting them throughout the dungeon.
Oh yeah, running some of those in like 5 minutes, full clears. Like, it was kind of amazing, but yeah, now that you speak about it, like, making friends, long-term friends, my previous significant other I met in Group Finder on my DK alt in Wrath of the Lich King.
Brings a whole new meaning to online dating, huh?
A little bit. Like, we were friends for quite a while before we actually started dating, but, like, that was how we met. It was, you know, a super new thing. I was on an alt, and I just happened, we were running Ankhenet, and I just happened to be like, oh god, look, it's a tank that can hold aggro on me. This is amazing. And they actually snarked right back at me. And then, I mean, we ran every single other heroic that night and, you know, talked for hours and stuff like that and became really fast friends. So it was kind of a funny, unique experience where, like, a lot of times those randoms, nobody talks. But then if you find that one person that does, it's like, yes, I have a new friend. This is great.
Definitely.
We're going to queue together and we're going to get insta-queues because you're a tank. Oh, tanks were always my best friend.
I love
leveling my hunter. Oh, best friend. Just any tank, any looking for group tank, I would just whisper them afterwards, like, you want a chain, you know, chain queue for stuff? That'd be great. So we could level really fast. That'd be awesome.
And that's why all of my alts for a couple of expansions were nothing but tanks, is because I liked having fast queues.
Yeah. Never underestimate a fast queue for a dungeon, trust me. Mm, mm-hmm. Best.
Same thing with, like, LFR healers. because tank queues for LFR are not that great. Healer queues
are pretty awful. Healer queues are where it's at. So as we talked, we talked about how leveling dungeons kind of prepare you, give you that feeling and stuff, and late game dungeons kind of help you gear. We've seen some interesting things throughout the years of how the leveling dungeons and the late game dungeons kind of go by the wayside as soon as you get a couple of raid tiers in. But I think it was, I guess probably Magister's Terrace was one of the first ones, and Tempest Keep, where they added five mans later on and made them give pretty good gear, actually. I mean, almost raid gear equivalent. And that trend continued into Trial of the Crusader, where you were getting some pretty good gear out of the five man as you went to Trial of the Grand Crusader, and then the ICC five mans between Pit of Saron, Halls of Reflex, and the other one that I can't remember the name of because nobody liked it.
What is that one? I know which one you're talking about, and I can never remember.
It was a quick run, and everybody had a good time with it, and it was super easy, but I'm pretty sure like everybody ran it once just to get the attunement stuff done.
The attunements and the Papa's brand new bag, like that was the big thing, is getting that big bag off of the like second boss, I think. Mm-hmm. But people trying to coordinate, like you needed a good healer to get through those.
Yes.
They were tricky. Like you could cheese
Pulse
a lot.
Reflection was definitely my favorite out of those. It provided a very unique challenge of trying to grab certain adds while DPSing different ones. And I think we even did some CC while also still trying to, that was probably what I would call the first iteration of what challenge modes began. Because if you weren't quick, you definitely died. And if you were too quick, you'd die as well sometimes because you just got too overzealous.
Yeah, I think, between, like, those late-game, harder-tier five-mans and, like, just the introduction of heroics in general, it's kind of always expanded on that, well, we need more, we need harder stuff. And the same thing goes for raiding. Like, you had, like, normal and heroic was based on the group size, not the actual, like, difficulty, and just how both of those concepts have been expanded on to reach a wider audience, because some people just want to see the thing and get the shinies, and other people actually want like a technical challenge that makes them, you know, think and plot and, you know, actually have to like whip out their notebook and you know, mark on the map of like, this is how we're going to do this thing. And the strategy from it, I think, is really nice. But it's in a more bite-size offering and not commit to raiding. Which, at least in the Legion iteration, is great for me because I love running mythics, but I can't be bothered to raid.
Understandable. And I think the devs have seen something along that lines of trying to keep this content relevant longer. Because as soon as you got raid ready and everything, you know, you didn't have to go back there. Why would I go back into five man when it doesn't give me anything useful? And it's kind of, I mean, it's certainly a valid thought, but they put a lot of time into developing those things. They have all the art assets that they put into designing the plays, giving it cool looks, designing the fights and stuff. I mean, I would, you know, it's perfectly logical for them to want to have people to, you know, at least keep enjoying that content more than just the first month or two as everybody gets geared in raids. I mean, challenge mode started that, trying to keep people going back and seeing how they can improve. And definitely now with the origins of mythic dungeons at the end of Warlords and how they've changed that to mythics now in the mythic plus scene. Definitely, I mean, I've never run more dungeons, you know, what are we, 5-6 months into the expansion now? No, not that much. 4 months?
August 30th, so yeah, we're almost 6 months in.
Holy cripes.
But I guess like it seems like it's gone by fast, but I don't know if that's just time or if it's like, hey, I'm still like, I'm not bored yet, which is nice. And like how you mentioned getting that bang for your buck out of dungeons, it's interesting how scenarios were a thing in Mists of Pandaria. Like, I would love to see those come back, because it seems like that was, like, dungeon light. Like, they were probably a cheaper budget and time constraint to actually, like, put them together, because they used things that were, you know, out in the open world or pieces of other dungeons and, you know, put unique challenges to them. But at the same point, it's like, once you mastered them and got your kicks out, you went back for your achievements and you ran them for badges, because scenarios were not scenarios but heroic scenarios for grinding badges every week was like, hey, I'm gonna do 5 of these in 30 minutes and it's gonna be perfect and I'm done for the week.
Yeah, and it kind of got tedious, but at least with the definitely now with the Mythic Plus system, it's been a lot of fun. I definitely keep going back. I have my favorites. I love Neltharion's Lair. I love, what's the other one that's not Mob Souls?
I like Arkway. I know not everybody likes Arkway, but I think Arkway's fun.
I do like Arkway. It's a neat instance. Definitely love the Court of Stars too. The murder mystery is really neat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, of course, there's definitely the ones that I hate the most. I love hate Halls of Valor. It's such a fun instance, but it takes so long.
It's really long, and people like to face pull all the things. Like, I don't know if I ever run Mythic Halls of Valor unless it's like a 2 that doesn't wipe at some point in time or another, because it's like, oh, great, we pulled 3 of those things instead of 2 or 1.
Well, the thing is I think the trash in there is so... it's more important than any other instance, and being that most of the affixes in Mythic Plus tend to really focus in on making trash, having to handle it in different ways, having very dangerous trash that has non-trivial really tricky pulls trash even is on quite regular, a challenge. It just makes it harder to, you know, elevate that game. So what happened? I mean, what happens when you have bolstering and you have 3 targets that need to die instantly, and then you have 2 more targets on the other side? I mean, you're just gonna... it's hard to really manage that, because if you bolster the targets and suddenly it's gonna take longer to kill the next one, but if you leave these targets alive for too long, they're gonna wipe you anyways. So it's a interesting take.
The only one I think I really truly hate is Eye of Ashara. I just hate that one. It doesn't matter the difficulty.
A lot of people hate that. I kind of like it.
It's the seagulls, man. But I know
a lot of people really hate that last boss.
The Wrath? Like, the last boss? Mm-hmm. Oh, that one's, like, the best one. It's the only one that isn't miserable. Like, Serpentrix? Mm-mm. No dice. The Giant? I don't care. The land, the little island dirt lady, she's not so bad. It's mostly just Serpentrix and being in that area and seagulls that, you know, gives me nightmares.
Seagulls are a big bad boss, Serpentrix, you know.
Second. If you skip the Naga boss and go the traditional second one, or if you go around the left side, if you skip her and do Serpentrix second and then go back, you don't get the seagulls until the
later. I know that, but I swear everybody I pug with does not, and they're like, oh haha, no, it'll be fine, it's okay, we'll just roll with it, and then they pull the sea witch lady first, and it's like,
yeah, and then you get seagull Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I get all the seagulls because ignite is fun.
Ignite is bae, except not really.
I like ignite. I don't like the Legion ignite. I don't like the fact that I don't have control over it.
It's out of control. Yeah. It's just the mage barrage. You know, I mean, you just have
mage
to
mage barrage equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You may barrage if you look at this direction. And only this direction. So, I mean, I guess, how do you take dungeons from here? People complain that some of the dungeons are the fact that we're still running the content and maybe we need a break from it. but they are such a good source of artifact power currently, especially with the Mythic Plus system. The gear is very good unless you're a cutting edge raiding guild, and even at that point, you're still just kind of looking for the AP rather than anything else. You know, where do you go from there? Do you think that we can? Do you think that Blizzard continues the Mythic Plus design?
I think in 7.2 they have, you know, more affixes, which will be an interesting barrel of monkeys to put together. but I think, you know, increasing and even rotating the variety of them. Well, of course, you can only get three each week anyway, but it's almost like it's a PvE brawly kind of concept, I guess, as best as you're going to see it. For a PvE side in WoW, that you've got the rotating thing, but at the same time where you've got weeks where you can cheese like a plus 20 or something, not actually a plus 20, but another week because the affix combination is bad, you can get a plus 12 if you're lucky.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that happen, and I think some tuning adjustments would be nice to make some of those combinations less punishing, because teaming and bolstering, I had that happen once and it was just absolutely brutal. I'm pretty certain
bolstering,
I'm thinking of something
and
else.
Skittish, I think that was 1 week, wasn't it?
Bolstering and skittish, it's not so bad. The skittish is the threat drop,
right?
So it, yeah, I don't know. Because you had to constantly tap target and tanks had to constantly tap target, and it got kind of crazy. I see
It wouldn't be a big deal, but like taunt has a kind of a, it in those situations, it feels like an eternity of a cooldown.
Certainly.
Well, affixes are definitely the key to continuing to refresh dungeons. I found that to be a really clever thing that they added. So, you know, there was just like a fun incentive to continue playing these games, these dungeons. It wasn't just about, you know, the best way to grind up AP or possibly to, you know, a chance of getting some better loot. So like you were mentioning how, you know, there's probably a good, you know, idea to tune how certain affixes work with each other, maybe like a percentage drop where, okay, well maybe teaming, would be dropped by a little bit of percentage, so it's not as terrible to go into, or bolstering, like maybe the health, but maybe like mobs health would be, you know, lowered, something to sort of offset how challenging the two affixes working together is. Because the other thing that these affixes do is, you know, you'll have these great highs where you'll just get two affixes that you could just blow through and you'll feel really strong. And it feels great to just be able to be like, oh my gosh, we did, you know, this huge mythic this week that maybe I'm not geared enough for, or just I haven't reached before. But then, you know, a week or, you know, a keystone that you're using where the affixes are just so impossible, it's just frustrating where you're just wiping all the time and it's not a good experience. So it's going to be up to, you know, I'm not sure exactly how to fix it where you feel like as a player, you feel accomplished and strong, but you're not constantly just being hit with this brick wall where you feel like nothing that you do, or, you know, there's no amount of strategy that you can put yourself through that will help you sort of push past those really tough times.
Mm-hmm. I guess on an alternative, and I think you kind of brought it up, but, you know, what do we think, you know, dungeons, especially with the Mythic Plus system, they'd be kind of skirting away from raiding. I mean, raiders will still have kind of a bit of a benefit or an advantage, but Mythic Plus system is kind of offering a different vantage point for the end game from people, and it's, you know, a new mentality, because everybody, you know, you did your dungeons and then it got you into raids. Well, now it's you're doing your dungeons and then you're doing more dungeons, and you can look at the raids, and I think people are still doing LFR that are doing that, but I know a few people that are just doing Mythic Pluses, and they have their group they get on for 3 hours or, you know, twice a week or something like that, and they're fine. They don't need their, you know, raid group anymore. They just have their five people and they're having a good time, which is, I don't know. It's kind of a neat way to look at it. it'd be interesting to see if they had like a tier set for the dungeoners to work towards. But how do you balance that?
I think that would be like a cool offering, like not just the like single timer challenge modes, but also like the mythic offers, you know, because at some point in time you're going to hit a point where you out gear and you can hit that mythic 20, and it will be, you know, not easy, but it'll be a good beefy challenge kind of thing. And I think it would be nice to kind of mix and match those concepts and take those and go, you know, go forward after Legion and whatever expansion come. But one thing I don't like, I don't know what's going to be done about like what'll replace the artifact power system in terms of like how do players gain their power and that sort of thing with the artifact weapon. Like, I would like to see the AP from mythics go away, because it was an uncapped and like easily abusable system to cap out, but it's also created some massive fatigue, especially for cutting edge raiders, where it's like that's all they're doing for 5 hours a night when they're not raiding, and then, you know, stop for raid and then go back to mythic plus grinding kind of thing. Like, that's exhaustive and discouraging, and it makes for unhappy people. And I know a lot of players aren't necessarily in that situation, but that pressure of like gotta keep running, it sours the experience, where there's all these really cool offerings with the mythic pluses, but because it's a unbridled opportunity for power gain, it leads to abuse and dissatisfaction. So like, I hope they take the good things and keep rolling with it, because I love the mythic pluses, I like the increasing challenge, I like the affixes and all the kind of crazy cool stuff, because that's like the level of playing that I'm at right now, since I stepped away from raiding on a, you know, anything but LFR level. So like, I hope they, that as a player would make me the most satisfied, is to have them take that and go forward with it and not have it fall by the wayside like the scenarios did, because I love those too, and I'm kind of sad that they're gone.
Yeah, I guess what do you do to replace AP, because at a certain point, you're not really expecting to get new gear from Mythic Pluses. You're just looking for the AP gains as kind of a neat way to, you know, add something and do them and get your cash and have a good time with it. You know, what do you, how do you keep people coming back? Or do you think it's okay if they leave people behind from the Mythic Plus systems and say, well, this is your content, and then this is Raiders content, and then this is Battleground content? And, you know, do you try to separate those? Or do you kind of let those people separate off again? Because I think, in my opinion, it's been nice to have artifact power being that centralized thing. It gets me into PvP, it gets me into the Mythic Plus dungeons, it gets me into the raids, and it keeps me interested and tells me, hey, there's something else that you can do besides the stuff that you always do.
AP is definitely the carrot on the stick to access content in World of Warcraft that maybe a player wouldn't have otherwise been incentivized to do, or they just didn't really think of doing it because it was like, oh, like, I only do PvE and I only want to do raiding because, you know, my friends are raiding or that's my only interest. Whereas like AP has just, you know, opened up so many new opportunities for players, where, like we were mentioning in our PvP episode, where we were talking about, you know, how you could do some of the PvP quests. And that's when Allie became really interested in, you know, getting back into PvP. And I just thought that was awesome. And just playing PvP, I've just seen more people interested in playing the game from that perspective. So I have to say, Sam, I just disagree, like, with taking AP, you know, limiting AP that you would get in Mythic Plus, so there isn't a fatigue, maybe a cap.
Right, and I agree for that same way. Like, I know I retract kind of what I said, because I don't want it to go away.
It's hard to do an absolute, really. Right. It's hard to stick to an absolute.
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things. It's like, well, this has a really good, you know, like you said, carrot on the stick, but I also worry about that fatigue from very vocal cutting edge players, because a lot of people listen and look up to them, and so if they're like, oh my god, this is a terrible system, it needs to change, then it kind of spoils the experience for other people, even if they're not subjecting themselves to that same experience. Because like, I see people complain about the mythic grind, but I don't experience it for myself, and it's like, is there something wrong with me? Should I be dissatisfied with this? But it also wouldn't be conducive to split the dungeon people away from the raiding people, because I think those two fields overlap constantly. Like, it wouldn't be good for them to split them up like you do, like, PvP versus PvEers are kind of split up, because it just makes the pool smaller, and, like, that's the last thing that we want. Like, we want as much inclusivity as possible, so I just think for, like, players that can't control themselves, maybe having a cap from AP for mythics would be a good idea. But I think for a large chunk of the populace, it's not a big deal. So it's kind of a catch-22, damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. But it feels like something needs to be done.
I can agree with you. I think, like, some unreasonably reasonable cap. So, like, if your average player goes, you know, two nights and decides that we're going to Mythic Plus grind for, you know, say a total of 10 hours. I mean, that's not unrealistic from a raider standpoint to go into a raid for 10 hours. So why should it be unrealistic for a Mythic Plus group to go, you know, go in and do 10 hours. So I think, you know, something that is a lot, but not too much. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's very interesting and probably could talk about for like 20 hours on it. All the pros, cons, pluses and minuses to it.
We'll just make sure it doesn't cap at 10 hours. Then if we want to talk about it for 20 hours, no.
I see what you did there.
Absolutely terrible. I think, so the more we're talking about this cap idea, the more I'm interested in it, because you know, PvP and PvE have always been sort of separate, and they were separate caps. So it was like, okay, you have, you know, a justice, you know, justice and valor for PvE, and then for PvP you had honor points and conquest points that could be, you know, and both of those could be used to, you know, buy gear and stuff like that. I would be really interested in seeing the caps not just be strictly like, this is for PvE, this is for PvP. Like, I would be really interested to see an AP cap for, like, this is strictly the AP cap for running Mythic Pluses. This is strictly the cap for, you know, running Battlegrounds, or this is the cap for running, running your raids, because then you would still feel incentivized to try the other aspects too. It's not like you could only get your AP cap from just doing Mythic Pluses. So you wouldn't isolate players again to just only do one discipline, and that it would still be incentivized to do the other, you know, the other types of gameplay as well. Whether or not that's effective, or people might complain, it's like, I really don't want to play PvP, but I feel compelled to because I have to fill up that, you know, that bar, that meter. I'm not sure, but I'd still like to see some sort of cap system, maybe, where it's...
I'll make the comment that they did that kind of towards the end of Warlords with Valor. They made it so that you capped at certain things, like you could only get so much Valor from the certain quests in Tinan Jungle, and then you can only get a certain amount of Valor from dungeons and a certain amount of Valor from PvP and things like that. So they kind of did that, but it wasn't nearly as effective or long-term sustainable, and didn't provide enough incentive to cross over, I don't think. But we kind of taken a little sidestep around here. Before we ended, I definitely wanted to touch on, we got Karazhan back for 5-man, and that was a really cool thing. I'm not sure if either of you have done it, but it is really cool.
Yeah, I definitely had a wonderful time. But I've only run it like 3 times. It seems like it's really hard to get non-Nightbane runs, and I'm probably more than geared enough to do a Nightbane, but basically I'm so late in the game that it's hard to not be like, I already have my Nightbane achievement, so please take me with you. Because I think I have like 6 quests for Karazhan right now that I need to clear out, and I just haven't gotten a group together. I end up getting distracted and going doing a Mythic Plus instead of going back to Kara, which sucks. Yeah. Like, it would, at this point, I think it would be cool if we could split it up, because it is really long. Like, it's a significant investment.
I think we spent like, it was the first time that I think 3 of the 5 of us had ever been in there, and I'm pretty sure it took us a full hour and change to get through there, and that's a long time. Let's be real. I think it probably was closer to hour 45 to really go through there. We had a couple of wipes later on in the dungeon and had some troubles finishing out, but we did get it. But it was definitely, I don't know. It's really cool to see, and it really brings back the feel of the dungeon while, you know, bringing some new life into it. But at the same point, you know, being so long, I definitely agree that if it had different wings, like checkpoints of, hey, well, you've done this part of the instance, which is the, you know, opening and getting to this point, and here's this part of the instance that's leading up to the Legion invasion, and then this is the final assault or something like that, would have probably been better from a time investment standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's one of the things I'd be curious to see. Obviously, we probably never will, but see the data on, like, how successful was Kara, because it's really cool, and they put a lot of really amazing work into it. It's got awesome mechanics, and, you know, they really hit the button on the nostalgia for Karazhan, the original, and that sort of thing. But because I don't see as many people running it, however many months later, as much as people are running other Mythic Pluses, and maybe that's what they need to do with it, is give Mythic Plus Karazhan loot. But I think like raids, how, like, if you clear them, I think it's 4 times, and you get your little quest key, then you can just go straight to the end boss kind of thing after that. Like, I think that would be a good idea to give keys for these longer dungeons, because it's not that the longer dungeons are bad, it's just that sometimes you just don't have the time to do it all in one shot.
I mean, well, we talked about this kind of concerning Maradon. It's an absolutely massive dungeon, but it got split up eventually, and then you realize later on that maybe you're just doing the sections and you lose the feeling of it being that massive instance, and instead it's just these short little sections.
Yeah, it's a catch-22.
It is. It really is. Because there was something definitely impressive about going through there and working through all the stuff. And it, I mean, the mechanics were much more difficult than any of the other, five mans. I mean, even a Mythic Plus, is the mechanics are still fairly simple. Whereas Karazhan made you really think you had to, I mean, as you get more used to it, you would, you know, take less and less time, but going through
it's still raid light kind of mechanic level. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see that brought back. I mean, maybe they need to bring back these, you know, shorter 10 man only, not necessarily competitive raids, but like the smaller instance size kind of things for, I guess I'm trying, I don't know really how to convey what I'm saying, but when you had Wrath and Burning Crusade, you had the smaller dungeons kind of on the side to be current, but not necessarily be the best thing. And I know that's not the proper description, because Karazhan was actual real gear, I guess, at the same point. It had tier gear in it. So it was definitely current progression for that main tier, which is weird, because the other dungeons were 25 mans. But it was... it wasn't necessarily the same grandiose scale, but it was still there, because Karazhan just doesn't fit as a 5-man. It fits more like a raid, but it's definitely easier to set up as a 5-man. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that absolutely does.
So I don't know, maybe they'll reset. I mean, do you think that there's any other dungeons out there that they could reset as a new 5-man to kind of keep content? I mean, if there was any incentive, I mean, Maradon would be perfect for it. I mean, this just the scale of it just fits that. Unfortunately, they've toned back Sunken Temple and even to a certain extent Stratholme, that they don't have that feel, I guess, anymore of the grandiose dungeon, even when you walk in manually. That I'd be concerned that they wouldn't quite fit, but I mean, you never know, honestly.
Yeah, the grand scale really has been, you know, dialed back with the revamps of some of those. So it's, I don't know, like, it would be, it's something I don't have an immediate answer for. Like, I would love for them to go revisit some other things and kind of revamp them, but at the same time, it goes back into that, well, like, they tend to not release a lot of dungeons because the development and the art time just makes them so expensive that they've kind of got to get their bang for their buck to go do it. And that's one of those things that it's like, God, I really hope Karazhan was successful, because I really want them to keep doing it. But was it successful enough? It's hard to tell. You know, we probably won't know until they release another one, or, you know, 8.0 and we go wherever we're going.
Yeah, that's true. I think it would be cool to have more experiences like that. But as you said, if it wasn't successful, if people weren't really doing it long term, I mean, you definitely have to weigh how much effort you're putting in as a developer to see how much worth people are getting out of it. I mean, you saw that push for raids to be more accessible so that they, you know, they could legitimize all the time and effort it takes to put those things together. And while their development cost, I'm assuming, has gone up to account for all those difficulty levels and methods of getting things involved for everybody in raids, I think they've seen a huge spike in getting people involved. So it's kind of like a win-win. You get more time to develop those things, but also get more players involved so that it makes it useful.
Yeah. You know, one that just came to mind is the one that's in BlackRock. Like, it used to be one big instance, but, like, if you queue for it, it's split into, like, four or five wings now. And I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Where you have to go... BlackRock Depths. That's a hard word. but yeah, the one with the anvil before you go to Molten Core, like, totally, I was thinking about it earlier for something else and I forgot about it, and then I just remembered, yes, yay, that one. I think that could do with, like, a, you know, Karazhan 2.0-esque revamp.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already got it so that it's split up and wingable, so it's definitely something that would be worth revisiting. Like, I mean... maybe to a degree people are kind of tired of, you know, Black Rock Mountain and going back, because how many times have we gone back now? but it's someplace that's still got that grand scale that has some nice nostalgia levels that I think could do with a revisit.
Well, what do you think about, like, the older raids? Like, you have all these vanilla raid contents that might fit that scale too. I mean, just look at where's Netherion the first time, not the second time?
Blackrock Descent?
Is that it? It might be.
The one that's on the top of the mountain?
It's the one that you had to go through Upper Spire to get into.
Oh, no. Blackrock Descent is the Cataclysm one.
Right.
Whatever. But that would be a cool way to, bring those old raids that you don't see anymore back into the fray. I mean, it was kind of cool doing Molten Core with 40 people, but it was also hellish, and everybody realized, yes, that is why 40-man raids are awful. Please never again.
Except for that one for the anniversary. And then we realized that, oh, no, that still was a terrible idea. Why did you do that? Yeah, it's as long as they can keep them both, because I think that's one of the things that really sucks about Zul'Gareb and Zul'Aman.
Is they completely remove them.
They're gone.
And you can't,
like,
experience
that sucks.
It.
I know, like, you can still go get the mounts, but they're different colors and stuff like that. But, like, why not both? I'm greedy. I want both. They were there. Let me, like, can I have both, please? Blizzard, please.
So, I guess it's, you know, there's a lot of potential there. They've definitely shown their hand with Kara, and I think there's definitely room for that to come back again. Mythic Plus has been, I guess, what I would call an overall success. I mean, when is the last time dungeon content lasted so long and people got are still interested in it? I know people complain about it, but it's really made it so that their development cycle has been useful for these five mans. And then you have all the leveling experiences that, people, experience the game for the first time in dungeons, and now trying to carry that experience on to endgame has been kind of a cool little transition through the years of the game.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the things that I think WoW has kind of built its empire on is the dungeon experience, and I don't think the game would be the same without it, because we're just not at a point where the world is engaging enough. Legion's done a really good job as far as, like, vanilla level of, like, outdoor content, but it's definitely something that needs... It needs a breath of fresh air every once in a while.
Certainly.
And it's not necessarily that we have to focus on the big dungeons back in the past on how those could become the next Karazhan. I think there are even some themes brought up in earlier World of Warcraft that would just make great experiences that are like the Cat of Five Man. For example, just some of the dungeons and Caverns of Time, where you're going back and you're going through all these portals, you're working with Thrall, you're, you know, experiencing kind of the Warcraft 3 essence. It's just sort of like the fission of, you know, different times and sort of instances would just make for an amazing kind of like Karazhan-esque five-man experience. So I'm like off the top of my head, you know, returning to the dungeon opening the dark portal, like there's just so many cool concepts and ideas that kind of get explored in those dungeons, but definitely could be expanded upon and would just make for a great kind of revival for, you know, upcoming patches in Legion.
Yeah, I agree. I think Caverns of Time is one of those kind of neat playground catch-alls that we can always go back to, you know, simply because they had it in Burning Crusade. We had a couple of stints in Wrath of the Lich King. We had a couple of stints in Cataclysm. When did we go back last? I'm trying to remember.
It might have been Cata, or, well, we definitely...
Well, I mean, Warlords was kind of its own Cavern of Time. But right. Yeah.
It's its own Cavern of Time.
It's one of those things that it's like, hey, we have a really cool idea, and I don't know how I'm going to fit it into the narrative. We should totally just throw it into Caverns of Time. And it would also give, like, a good opportunity, you know, with, like, Chronicle 1 and 2 for them to retcon some stuff and not just have that in print form, but, right. Like, get it back into the game, too. Like, it's... The possibilities are endless.
Good one, Gul'dan. Possibilities are endless. Yeah, I actually, you know what'd be really cool? So remember the Echoes dungeons that were released? I think it was at the end of Cata. Where end you did time. Like Echo of Bane, Echo of Jaina, Echo of Sylvanas, Echo of Tyrande.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the end time dungeons. The Echoes and then the one with Illidan and then...
I think there's a Manoroth too, right? That you...
Yes.
Just like even linking those together so it wouldn't just be each of those becomes its own Karazhan. It would just be like you re-release those and then they would link together again I think that would just be a really cool experience again.
I agree. The only problem I see with that is because we have time walking just in general, like trying to rework them too much. Because that's one of the neat things about Kara is that there are no five mans that are related to it. So the return to Kara being a five man related to the dungeon, or related to the raid, excuse me, has a unique experience. Whereas, like, if we're diving into some of the Caverns of Time stuff, we run into the problem of conflicting utilization just from like a game design perspective, because they put all this time into the time walking and retuning and having stuff scale, and that is awesome and I don't want to hinder that in any way, and that's like the only thing that just occurred to me that might be an issue for something like at the end time ones.
That's a good point.
You see that with all the older instances, but you don't see that with the vanilla ones, so I think that gives you some leeway there for those dungeons, because you don't see them a whole lot. But yeah, definitely as you get into the Burning Crusade and on, having time walking makes rerunning those instances or revamping them as an epic five man a little unreasonable and unnecessary, honestly.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
My heart of hearts wants it though.
I agree. We all have those things that we want, even if it doesn't make sense or if it dashes other things already existing. We just want them because they sound awesome. And I agree. It sounds super awesome.
They should just do it. Come on. Isn't there unlimited dev time? It doesn't cost any money.
Sure. Something like that, you know. Sure. Those people don't need to sleep or eat. What is that?
No. They just sustain themselves by, you know, creating content for us at our whim.
They survive on, you know, weak class tiers.
Those salty, salty tiers. tasty, tasty tears from people.
I think that's a good place to kind of call it for tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know what you wanted to do for a closing. I was kind of curious to be like, hey, you know, if you have any comments on dungeons or sharing a good dungeon experience that you had or favorite dungeon, to send us a message or something like that to kind of encourage people to send some additional feedback would be neat.
Yeah, if you guys, you know, feel that like we missed anything or, you know, a challenge for dungeons that we didn't address, send us stories of your favorite silly five-man experiences, you know, like my 2 hours in Maradon. You can find us on Twitter at Arcane Analysis, and you can also email us at arcana@blizzpro.com. Until next time, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.